It's a perfect song for this morning. I appreciate y'all singing that. Here's the question. Is all well just because Jesus is here? Really, think about that for just a second. It's okay. All is well. Why? Because He's here. He came. The challenge is all the other stuff going on around us takes the focus off of what God has done in Christ and puts our focus on everything going on around us. And so it becomes, man, in our minds and in our hearts, all is not well. There, man, there's a lot of things that are wrong. Why? Because this person is doing that, and I got this concern over here. And then if this doesn't happen, then this might happen. And so, oh, there's a lot of things that are wrong. All is not well. But that's not reality. Reality is, the truth is, that all is well. The book of Hebrews, written to the Hebrews. Written to, in particular, Jewish believers that had spread, not just in Jerusalem, but they had spread all over the Greco-Roman world. This is a book that's written, we don't really even know exactly who it was written, because it doesn't matter, it was written by the Holy Spirit. And so it was written to Jewish believers, and here's what was happening at the time. Jewish believers at the time who had trusted Christ, things started not going well. The heat started getting turned up in terms of pressure from the government. There was persecution from the religious organizations, including the Jewish hierarchy, the Pharisees who crucified Christ. Same people made it hard for the Jewish Christians. And so all was not well. And as the pressure began to turn up and the heat began to get hot on some of these believers, you know what happened? They said, listen, it's a whole lot better when I was just a Jew. And so these Jewish Christians who had made a profession of faith in Christ, they started just falling back into Judaism. Because it was too hard. A Judaism, you can actually see. I mean, well, look, we'll go, we'll make sacrifices, we'll do these things. But faith in a Christ that you cannot see, that's just too hard. It's just too difficult to believe that all is well. Because what my eyes tell me is all is not well. The book of Hebrews was written to those folks and to us to show us. What is it that we need to see when all doesn't feel like it's well? What is it that we need to see? You know what we need to see? What we need to see is a real clear picture that we may have seen before, but we need to see it again. It's a real clear picture of who this little baby is. We need to see this is not a cute little scene of a mom and a dad and a newborn babe and all. It's so sad that he's laying in a manger. That's cute. We forget who that baby is. And why that baby was born. That's Hebrews chapter 1. Let's watch this. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways. Stop right there. How did God relate to His people before Christ was born? God did it through prophets and through the fathers Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God spoke with Abraham. God made Abraham promises. David, God spoke with David, made David promises. God spoke to the prophets. That God's word, that God's relationship with His people came through the fathers and the prophets. That's the way that the Jews, God's people, that's how they related to God. But, verse 2, in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son. And God was no longer using fathers. God was no longer using prophets. We didn't need the prophets. We didn't need the fathers. God, now they're God's word. But in these last days, these last 2,000 years, God has spoken to us in His Son. God sent not a father or a prophet. God sent His Son. That's who this little baby is. Watch. Who is this Son? What does it mean that He's a Son? Who really is this little baby? He is the heir of all things. Think about that for just a second. He is the heir, meaning that He will be given ownership as an inheritance over everything. Everything. That He will be given ownership over everything. Does that include what happens to me when I retire? Because there's some things going on with my, you know, my retirement account right now. Does that include what happens to me when the doctor says cancer? Does that include, wait a minute, does that include what happens to my children when I'm gone? Does that include, you fill in the blank. It goes from the galaxies that our scientists have not even discovered all the way down to the hairs on your head. That He is the heir. This little baby, He is the heir of all things, everything. He owns it all. He owns it all. He's not only the heir of all things, but He's the creator of all things, through whom also He made the world. That God the Father was at work through the Son creating the world. He created it all. Everything that you see, everything around us, including my life and yours. And by the way, the circumstances that I face, they're no coincidence. He didn't just come to have ownership. He made it. This little baby is the God who controls the winds and the waves. Why? Because He made them. Verse 3. And He is the radiance of His glory. You know, this morning, when you got up this morning, if you had a view of the mountains when you were coming to church this morning, you can see the mountains are white, and they are beautiful. It is beautiful this morning. And the sun, I love the sun coming up, and it's a sunny morning, and there's still enough snow on the ground where you get some sparkle to the mountains. It's beautiful. And we look at the mountains sometimes, or you go to the beach and you look at the ocean. And you know what? You're filled with, I mean, the heavens declare the glory of God, right? And we look in it, and that beauty, and man, we appreciate who the Lord is. But here's the thing about the mountains and the ocean and the nature. You know what? They're limited in how much of God's glory they can communicate. Because while they might be able to communicate God's power and God's handiwork, they cannot communicate anything about His character. Those mountains cannot communicate His love. Those mountains can't communicate His patience. Those mountains can't communicate His plan and His sacrifice. Those mountains can't communicate His faithfulness. Those mountains can't communicate the fact that He is sufficient. Those mountains, they can only communicate God's glory up to a certain point. What we need a bigger picture. We need a fuller picture. We need God to show us Himself. We need to see this God who made the mountains. Who is He? What is He like? Jesus. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. The sun radiates light. The sun radiates heat. You can go outside this morning, and even though it's 30-some degrees, you stand with your back to the sun, and you know what? You can feel the warmth of that sun. Why? Because the sun is radiating heat. It's sharing its heat with you. You can know that the sun is hot because you feel it on your shoulders. You know that the sun is bright because it's radiating light. How do we know who our Father is? How do we know what our God is like? Because Jesus is the radiance of His glory. That's this little child. We would not know our Father, the God who created us. We wouldn't know Him if Jesus were not the radiance of His glory. The love, the faithfulness, the justice, the kindness, the patience, the gentleness. Jesus radiates the Father's glory. That's how we know the Father. It's Jesus. Jesus is the exact representation of His nature. That you want to know what the Father is like? Read through the four Gospels. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father's nature. Exact. You cannot know these things about our God except through Christ. He is the only way that we can know our God. That's Jesus. If it stopped right there, if the book of Hebrews stopped right there, okay, man, enough said. I need Jesus. He obviously is powerful enough because He created the whole world. He owns everything. And He is the way that the Father has revealed Himself to us. That's enough. That's Jesus. But He doesn't stop there. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds everything. The reason that the moon follows the path of orbit around the earth is because of a force called gravity. Do you know whose force that is? Jesus. The reason that I have the ability, the reason that any of us have the ability to get up tomorrow morning and go to work and actually do the job that we've been given to do and receive a paycheck whereby we provide, as John prayed, we provide for ourselves and our family, which is a blessing that God gives us. Where does that come from? He upholds everything. He upholds it all. How come the water cycle works where the water is evaporated by the sun, forms clouds, rains over the land, and flows back into the ocean? Where does that come from? Jesus upholds it all. This little baby, Jesus, that's who He is. Not only does He uphold all things by the word of His power, but when He had made purification of sins, that Jesus came, He left His throne in glory and He came and He died on a cross. Why? To make the payment for our sin. That's what He did. This little baby, the only reason we worship, the only reason we celebrate the birth of this little baby is because he grew up and He died on a cross and He rose from the grave. Were it not for that, His birth would be insignificant. But that's who Jesus is. He made purifications for our sin, and now He has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That Jesus, right this second, is sitting at the right hand of the throne room of the God of the universe. Not only does He inherit, does He have ownership over all things, not only did He create all things, not only does He uphold all things by His power, but He sits at the command center of the universe. All right. Now let's stop right there for just a second. Because all that verses 1, 2, and 3 say, all of that is just true. It just is true. It's just fact. It's true because God's word says it's true. But I want you to see that we are meant to read that. We're meant to understand. We're meant to just pull the truth in. But here's the thing, that we can't just pull that truth in and say to ourselves, okay, that's nice. I get that. No, it's not just truth that we understand and agree with, and it's nice. Here's what all of that truth means. What it means is that Jesus is worthy of our trust, and nothing else is. Let me read verse 4. Having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Here's where the Holy Spirit takes the author of Hebrews. The Holy Spirit leads the author of Hebrews to explain, remind us of who this Jesus is, and of his greatness, and of his power, and of his majesty, and his control, and his ownership, and where he sits now. But it's for a reason that he reminds us of all of those things. And here's his reason, that he is going to set up a contrast. In verse 4, he reveals for the Hebrews 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit knew they needed a contrast between Jesus and the angels. Here's why that was true. In Judaism, around the time of Christ, you had 400 years since Malachi was written. 400 years since the last time they had had a word from God through a prophet. And you know what happened in those 400 years? What happened in those 400 years is the Jews began to look, not to God, but they began to look to angels. There were a lot of stories in those intertestamental times. In between the Old and the New Testament, there were a lot of stories of things that happened. There were wars that the Jews fought. And there was a lot of focus on angels, on the power of angels, on the help that angels provided to men. It was a whole lot of this stuff. And so you know what the Holy Spirit does right here? The Holy Spirit comes and sets up this contrast between Jesus and the angels. And the point is that Jesus is more worthy of our trust than angels. That Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is more powerful and more faithful and more worthy of our trust than angels. Now here's the story. We don't give quite so much attention to angels anymore. Now, there are some segments of our society that might give a lot of attention to angels. That's probably not most of us. But here's what's happening. What we are getting in Hebrews chapter 1 is we are getting a very clear contrast between Jesus and any other power that we are tempted to trust in. We're getting a very clear contrast between Jesus and anything else that we may think that we need. Think about that for just a second. Jesus. Or anything else that we might think that we need. My marriage is falling apart, and you know what I need? Man, I just need a new wife. That's not true of me. It's a hypothetical situation. I'm going to hear about that one. No, I'm just joking. Think for just a second. My marriage is falling apart, and what I need is I just need a new wife because the one I got is obviously broken. Something wrong with her. Right? No. No, you're in the marriage that the Lord gave you. What you need is Jesus to take control of your life. You don't need a new wife. You need Jesus. You don't know my job. At my job, what I need is two things. I need a new boss and I need a raise. And if I got a new boss and I got a raise, everything would be all right. I would be okay. All would be well with a new boss and a raise. That's not true, though. That's not reality. Because it's not the boss and the raise that's the problem. What we need is Jesus to take control of my life, because it is Jesus who owns it all. It's Jesus who upholds it all. It's Jesus who created it all. It's Jesus who sits at the right hand, the throne room of God. It's Jesus who made payment for our sins. It's Jesus. What we need, what we trust, our only hope is Jesus. We are much more naturalistic than the Hebrews were in the first century. That meaning that we don't look to angels. Our issue, our deal is not our problem. Our temptation is not to look to angels, some other supernatural being. Most of us would agree. Hey, look, you're right. Jesus is all of these things. That's true. But we say that, but then what we practically live out as if the circumstances around me and the people around me control my life. And that just simply isn't true. What we practically do, we acknowledge mentally that Jesus is all of these things, but then what we practically put our trust in are natural circumstances. Isn't that true? You know it is. If I can just get this great... Students, college students, listen to this. If I can just get this grade on this test, then maybe I will impress my professor. And if I impress my professor, then he'll recommend me for an internship next semester. And if I get that internship next semester, then I'll have my career set. And if I don't get that, then my life is ruined. If I don't get a good grade on this test, then God's will for my life is thwarted. So that's how my life is going to plan out. If I got to get a good grade on this test or everything's going to fall apart. Really? So your professor and this test have taken the place of Christ in your life, because it's them that you are placing your trust in to set the course for your life. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't study, do our best, but you know what? Here's the fact of the matter. Jesus upholds it all. Who is the one who is going to open doors and provide? It's Christ. It's Him that we should trust. Hebrews chapter 1, and really the whole book of Hebrews, the whole point is to show us how Christ is greater than anything else that we might put our trust in. Christ is greater. Let's take just a real quick survey. Verse 5. Which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Which of your professors at school did God ever say to that professor, "You're my son. You have the power to control my will for this person's life"? Didn't ever happen that way. But he did say to Jesus, "You're my son." And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." Jesus is God's Son. And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire?" Here's what He's saying there. He's saying that it is Christ who the angels have to worship. It is Christ who our doctors have to worship. It's Christ who our professors have to worship. It's Christ who our bosses have to worship. It's Christ who everybody around us, you know what, the people around us, they have to worship Christ. One day, every knee will bow. So it is not them who control our lives. They have to worship Christ. It's Christ who really is the one who I can trust. It's Jesus. When he says that he makes angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire, his point is angels are simply servants. They're not sons. Angels are simply servants. They do what God tells them to do. Verse 8, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. It is Jesus who sits on the throne. Angels don't sit on the throne. None of the powers that be sit on the throne. There's a whole lot of talk, man, and there always has been a whole lot of talk about political power and about laws and about people who sit in certain seats and wear certain titles. Listen, you know what? Jesus is really the only one who sits on the throne. The only one. And there isn't one single person, regardless of what role they have or what title they have given, there isn't one single person who can thwart God's will. Because Jesus is the one on the throne. All is well. Jesus. Let's keep going. Verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. He created them. They will perish, but you remain. They all will become old like a garment, like a mantle. You will roll them up like a garment. They'll all be changed, but you are the same. Here's the point. And Jesus will never change. He will never change. He's never going to get old. He's never going to die. You say, well, man, I don't need a new boss. I just need the boss I got to stay. My boss, man, he's getting old. I'm worried that he's going to retire next year, and I know who they're going to replace him with. I want my boss to stay. The one who's really in control, he will stay. He will always remain. Never changes. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? To which of the angels, to which of any of the powers that we might see in our lives with our eyes, to which of them has God ever said, I will make your enemies a footstool? To which of the powers that be has God ever said, you will never lose? None. Just Jesus. None of the people that we know, none of the people that play a role in our life, none of the circumstances, none of the issues, none of it has God ever promised. You will never be defeated. But to Jesus, yes, he has. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? You know who that is? That's us. We are those who will inherit salvation. And you know what? The powers that be, the angels, and I think you can take this and you can apply it to whatever power is influencing our life, and you can say that it is serving, according to God's will, those who will inherit salvation. Whatever it is that we are facing, God is using it in our lives. It is not these powers that we trust, it's Jesus. And when we see him for who he is, when we see this manger and this little baby, listen, it's not meant for us to say, oh, that's cute. It's meant for us to say, wow, that little baby came. Do you know who that little baby is? And what it means that he is here? And what it means that he is here is that I can trust him, and that all of these other things don't really mean a hoot Because Jesus is here. Here's how you will know. And we're going to close here in just a second. Here's how you will know if something other than Jesus has captured your trust. If something other than Jesus is where your focus is, here's how you'll know. You really will. Number one, if His presence with us, the fact that He is here and He has come and He is our Savior and all of this is true, if His presence with us is not all the encouragement that you need, then there is something that you are trusting more than Him. If you find in your heart discouragement and fear and worry, then what you are looking at is a set of circumstances, and you are trusting that set of circumstances. You're trusting your life to that set of circumstances. You're trusting your well-being to that set of circumstances. And because that set of circumstances is not going the way you think it should or the way that it could, there is discouragement and worry and fear. But you know what? That's not true. Jesus upholds all things. Jesus sits on the throne. And so His presence, the truth of who He is, and He is greater than anything, that ought to be all the encouragement that we need. Now, that's not always true, but when it's not true, we need to recognize what's happening. When there is discouragement and worry and fear, we need to recognize, wait a minute, there is a fight going on for my heart. Who will I trust? Will I trust, okay, maybe it's not angels, but maybe it is another power or another circumstance or another person, another influence. Will I trust that? Or will I say, that does not control my life? Jesus does. And will I trust that Jesus is greater than that? And so because Jesus is on the throne and Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is with me, all is well. When you see discouragement and fear and worry, you know, okay, I am trusting something that is not as great as Christ, and I need to trust Jesus in this right now. Let me give you another one. When you see in your life a neglect of prayer, when prayer is not your lifeline, and prayer is something, oh, I can skip it this morning, I'll come back tomorrow. When prayer is not your lifeline, then you are trusting something that is not as great as Jesus. Because Jesus, man, we got to have Him. God, I need you here in this situation. God, I need you. The passage we read from Colossians 4 last week, devote ourselves to prayer. Why? Because Jesus is our lifeline. Secondly, thirdly, if God's Word, if being taught and instructed and guided by God's Word is not your delight, then there is something that you are trusting other than Christ. And it may be our own smarts, it may be our own common sense. But listen, our own smarts, our own common sense, God did not say your common sense will never fail. He did say to Jesus, I will make your enemies your footstool. You'll never be defeated. And so you know what we need? Not common sense, but we need a shepherd to teach us. If God's Word, being instructed by God's Word, is not your delight, then you are trusting something else, something inferior, something not as great as Christ. Jesus, this little baby. Jesus is greater than anything else. that we could ever trust. All is well. Why? Because all is just, because it's, my life is just a walk in the park right now. No. All is well. Why? Because God sent forth His Son to be born in a manger, to die on a cross, to rise again from the grave, to sit at the right hand of the throne room of the Father. And so you know what? Man, all is well. All is well. Father, God, I praise You that Christ would have first place in our lives in everything. God, I pray that our eyes would see Your Son Jesus for who He is, even, Father, especially at this Christmas time. God, I pray that we would, that You would protect us, Father, from being drawn to so many lesser things, prioritizing lesser things, trusting in lesser things. God, I pray Christ would have first place in our lives and we would trust Him completely, seek Him and cling to Him, find Him faithful. God, thank You. Oh, Father, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And as we sing, you know, oftentimes we call this an invitation. Really, it's a time of response. Anytime you open God's Word, whether it's here together or at home by yourself, anytime you open God's Word, you have to respond in some way. And my prayer is that this morning, we look at Christ, who the Spirit reveals to us Christ is, that we will trust Him more. Maybe it is that you are here this morning and you have never trusted Him for the first time. You have never trusted that though your sins be as scarlet, Jesus alone can make them white as snow. That though before a holy God, your sins will bring nothing but condemnation and eternal judgment. But because Jesus died in your place and in mine, and by trusting Him, He can save you. If you have never trusted Him like that, my prayer is that you would trust Him this morning. I would love to share more about what that means. Come ask me about that. Brothers and sisters, listen. Let's let the Holy Spirit really point our eyes to Christ. Really draw us, not to the cuteness of a manger scene, but to who this baby really is, and help us to trust Him more. To trust Him more. Whatever it is that He is doing in our life, to trust Him more. Let's stand and sing.
Hymn 544, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Close our service this morning.